This is Only a Game. I'm Karen Given, filling in for Bill Littlefield. Take a look at a 60-year-old photo of a baseball crowd and compare it with a photo taken more recently. They'd look pretty different, especially because of what fans are wearing. Our story comes from Only a Game's host with the most, Bill Littlefield.
In 1957, most of them were wearing jackets and ties and sometimes fedoras.
That's Sports Illustrated senior writer Tim Layden.
2015 or 16, there's a much wider demographic spread. There's males and females in the picture, and more than 50%, probably 75%, are wearing some kind of jersey.
Layden is referring to team jerseys. Nobody used to wear them. Now a lot of people do, even when they aren't at ball games. Christian End, a social psychologist at Xavier University, has studied this aspect of fan behavior across many sports.
We know that being a fan helps you escape your stressors in life. And so maybe by slipping on that jersey, you think back to the time of when you were a kid and your only worries were really about whether or not the team was going to win on Sunday.
The luxury of wearing your favorite team jersey wasn't always available because it didn't occur to sports teams or the leagues in which they played that anybody would want to dress like a pro athlete until one man got that idea. In researching a recent SI story about the phenomenon of the jersey, Tim Layden spoke with that man.
He was years and years ahead of everybody. He was making, you know, Mickey Mantle jerseys in the late 50s and early 60s and uniforms, and mainly for little kids. But then he saw that the marketplace would bear grown-up jerseys, which he thought was the nuttiest thing. But then it actually proved to be true.
Manny from Manny's Baseball. Manny Konigsberg is my name.
And selling jerseys and other stuff featuring team logos was his game. And some of it was pretty dubious, especially when it came to baseball caps.
We used to just paste the emblem on, but what happened was they didn't look that great, and they would tend to fall off.
These knockoffs emerged from Manny's South Bronx shop, located directly across from Yankee Stadium. Eventually, the businesses supplying the Yankees and other teams whose emblems Manny had appropriated began to raise a squawk.
And these companies would say, you know, you can't sell this stuff. I said, great, I'll buy it from you. I sold duplicates. I didn't sell the actual jersey unless I could get a hold of the PR guy, and then he would sell me jerseys. But a lot of this stuff I still made myself.
And the jerseys, jackets, and caps Manny's Baseball Land made and sold a lot of kept Manny in business for decades.
We had all the team jackets, and I had embroidered emblems. Do you remember the movie The Natural with Robert Redford? I had the hat, I had the jersey, and it took off. I saw what people wanted, and I just made that happen.
You'd think that the visionary behind this operation might be inclined to boast about his success, but
I myself don't understand it at all, because I never cared for baseball. I liked football. Baseball was boring, but it was my business, so I went with it, you know.
By the time Manny Konigsberg retired to Las Vegas in 1978, all manner of other entrepreneurs were taking advantage of the desire of many fans to dress like their sports heroes. And that would sort of be the end of an amusing little story about sports jerseys if Manny wasn't so great at telling stories, one of which involves no less a personage than Old Blue Eyes, a.k.a. the chairman of the board.
I was out in Atlantic City with a young lady, and she wants to see Frank Sinatra. I said, I don't know if I can get tickets for Sinatra. I'm sure he sold out.
And he was. So Manny and his young lady would have been out of luck, except that Manny recognized a guy on the boardwalk by the name of Lester. He was a peddler who usually worked outside Yankee Stadium, which is why Manny recognized him. That evening, Lester was selling Sinatra buttons.
So I said, hey, my girlfriend here is driving me nuts. Can you get me in to see Sinatra? He said, sure, you know, I think I can. I'll talk to Jilly. Now, this is Jilly Rizzo, the gangster. He was pretty dangerous.
But at least on this occasion, pretty accommodating. The pal of Frank Sinatra worked at so Manny and his lady could see the show. And afterwards, the peddler who'd made the contact caught Manny on the way out of the theater.
Lester stopped me. He says, Jilly wants to talk to you. I said, sure, you know, all right. So he said, this is just the way he said it. Is yous the guys that sells these jackets for Yankee Stadium? And I said, yeah, scaringly.
But it's all okay, right? Because Jilly just wants a couple of jackets.
One, just like the Yankees, you. I don't want the Yankees, though. I don't want any of that crap. I want Gilly on one of them and Sinatra on the other one. So I said, I don't think I can do it. So he says, you'll have them here. I said, I'll try. All right. He says, you'll have them here. And I said, okay.
And you know Manny got the jackets to Frank Sinatra because Manny lived to retire to Las Vegas, or he wouldn't have been able to tell me that story, which started with us wondering about all the people wearing jerseys when they go to a game. And it just goes to show that you never know where a story is going to lead and that sometimes you get to Frank Sinatra, or at least to his pal Gilly, who, according to Manny at least, enjoyed those jackets very much.
That was Only a Game's own Bill Littlefield.